Thank you. Manatic name Joe. First thing first, I want to thank the CPRCNA Programming Committee for this opportunity to come and carry the message. I want to specifically thank Paul for being the vehicle of asking me in the first place. I think it's an honor and a privilege to go anywhere and do anything, for Narcotics Anonymous. And I was at Marlickman, Lancaster, Pennsylvania convention in February when I saw Paul, and he asked me then would I be willing to come and speak here. I need to share with you that this is my first time here in Ocean City, and it has been a blast. It really has. It's been a blast. My sponsor told me to come up here and have fun. My significant other told me the same thing. So that's what I'm gonna try and do. My clean time is December 7th, 1992. Got 18 years. Celebrated 18 years clean in this last December. I'm from the Central Ohio area of Narcotics Anonymous in Columbus, Ohio. And just want to let you know that they send their love. Wow, embracing empathy. When Paul told me the topic, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought that topic was like tailor-made for me. I really did. Been through a few things up in this camp, as we all have. Just real quick, I just need to share with you, I'm a single parent. My wife passed away not too long ago. When my wife passed away, I had a 2-year-old, had a 4-year-old, and I had a 7-year-old. And one day I was at that same convention where Paul at Mount Lickner, and this was a few years ago, I was there, and I got a phone call one Sunday morning, and it was my mother-in-law. And first of all, it was my son calling me, telling me that Mom wouldn't wake up. So I got a call later on, and when I was able to return the call, because I didn't think that was going on, so when I was able to call back, I called back on my mother-in-law at the time. She answered the phone, and I said, "Mom, what's up? What's going on?" And that's when she told me that my wife had passed away. It's been a journey, man. It really has. But what I come here to share with you is that about the solution, and that how excited I am, about being a part of this program, because I don't care who you are, where you've been, what we've been through, man, because we've all experienced all kind of stuff in and out of this thing. Okay, so I guess what I'm so grateful about is that if the spiritual principles that are at our disposal, if I'm willing, then anything is possible. I just want to. I need to tell you that embracing empathy is something that was real hard for me initially. Because I'm the guy, I guess it was real hard for me because, You know, when my wife passed, let me go back a little. You know, because and I always need to share this out loud, because sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to forget, you know, some of the things that we've done, you know. And what I need to share with you, you know, in my marriage, I stepped outside my marriage. And when I done that, the feelings that came from that was unbearable. You know, it was unbearable. I never knew that I would experience the kind of hurt and shame and guilt that came along with stepping outside your marriage. You know, and I guess what I need to share with you that is that something good came out of that. And I never thought I would say that. But what came out of that is that, and I made my amends and I did it the things that I needed to do, you know, to get to the other side of it, you know, and what I need to share with you that from that point forward, just tell me what this program would do for you. You know, I've never found a reason, no reason, to step outside any relationship that I've ever been in, you know. So, and for that, I'm truly grateful, man. Since my wife passed away, I need to share with you, you know, that I've been in two relationships, two committed relationships. And I'm presently in one now. And the one after my wife had passed away, like a few years after my wife had passed away, was very hurtful. That's why I said that embracing empathy for me was real hard. Now. And the reason it was hard is because, see, it's real easy for me, you know, to share with my friends or the people that I sponsor, you know, who are going through things or who's been cheated on or who relationship gone or job gone. It's real easy for me to embrace them. But the hard part about all this thing is that it ain't so easy when the stuff that's going on happens to me. Okay? That's hard. It's real hard for me to embrace somebody who has hurt my feelings. It's real hard for me to embrace someone, you know, I told you I'm a quick forgetter. It's real hard for me to embrace somebody who has stepped outside my relationship, our relationship. It's real hard for that. So I guess in embracing empathy, after going over this with my sponsor, I guess that what I needed to talk about initially was before I could get to the embracing of the empathy, I had to talk about how I embraced apathy. Okay? You know, because the empathy piece is like putting yourself in that person's shoes. You know, it's like, you know, circling yourself up and feeling what this person is going through. Okay? That's the empathy part of it. And the apathy part is just the total opposite. Okay? It's not embracing what this person is going through. It's not feeling. You know, a lot of times we go right here, you're talking about, you feeling me? Well, you know, when the apathy piece is, no, I ain't feeling you. You know? I'm not feeling you. You know, so, and part of my using was that. Part of my using was, you know, there was a lot of apathy going on. I couldn't embrace empathy when I was using for a good part of my life being clean. I couldn't embrace it. Okay? I couldn't embrace it. So I guess after my wife had passed away, I got into this relationship, man, it was okay initially, you know, we were, you know, we talked about going to the next level. We talked about getting married. We talked about a lot of things. Listen, man, you know what? I needed to share this. I want to share this because when I was growing up, I never was taught how to treat a woman. You know, and I didn't get in touch with that, man, until about maybe like 6 months ago. It never dawned on me. Listen. I never saw my mom and dad hold hands. I never saw my mom and dad kiss each other. I never saw my dad open the door for my mother. I never heard my mom or dad say, I love you. Now, I don't know where y'all come from. All I know is that I know where I come from. You know, and I know the experiences that I've had the opportunity to be a part of, and that was one experience that it never dawned on me. You know, so I call myself, and even getting married, I got married without even having a clue of what marriage was all about. Okay? One thing that I did know, see, but I did know right from wrong. I knew that. And so my take on that was, as long as I did the right thing, as long as I treat you right, my right, as long as I done that, then, you know, it should work itself out. You know, but it didn't. You know, and that's why it was so hard for me. That's why it's so hard for me, you know, in that relationship that I was in, to embrace empathy. You know, because see, I'm the guy that, you know, I was the finger pointer. I was the guy the how dare you, you know. Because listen, you know, I shared with you earlier that after what happened in my marriage, I made a decision, man. I made a decision not to ever, I don't ever want to experience that kind of hurt, that kind of shame, that kind of guilt ever again. And I thought that if I just do what I'm supposed to do, if I do the right thing, then everything's going to be all right. But it didn't happen. You know? And I pointed fingers forever, man, at this young lady, you know? You know, but I just shared with you that if you practice these spiritual principles that this program has to offer, if you do the work, if you commit to it, then something good will come out of it. See, like I said, I told you, I'm the guy, I'm the finger pointer. I'm the blackmailer. You know, somewhere in our literature it talks about emotional blackmail. It talks about in the fourth step, where it talks about we may have induced guilt in our friends to ensure their loyalty or indulged in other forms of emotional blackmail. And what emotional blackmail is the psychological misuse of a person's emotions or insecurities in order to influence their behavior. You know? So I was the manipulator. I manipulated my relationships, you know. I'm the guy. Listen, and I never shared this before, you know. And I talked about this with my sponsor, man. And I can remember, man, in this relationship that I was in, that one day, man, this young lady had to use my phone, and she used my phone. I'm talking about hurting myself. And she used the phone, and when she used my phone, she put her password in for her phone, right? And after it was all said and done, I don't know what was going on, but all I know is when I got my phone back later on, you know, there were some numbers in there that I wasn't familiar with. So what I did, man, I called that number, and that number was the password to their phone, you know, to get into their voicemail, all right? You know, and I told you, you know, I suffer, you know, I suffer from a disease, man, that's cunning, and it's baffling, and it's insidious, and it will have you hurt your ass anytime you feel like it, okay? You know? And so what I did, and I was so insecure in this relationship, I was so insecure in this relationship, that when I found out that it was their password to their phone, I called it. I used it. All right? And listen, I'm talking about hurting myself. And I'm talking about a guy, man, that was in love with somebody and would do anything for this person, but I couldn't trust him. All right? But for real, I couldn't trust me. And I can remember the first time, man, I called this number, man, and the thing went through. Listen, I need to share with you, man, that I got it got real, real easy. You know, and but what was so crazy about this whole thing, man, is that every time I done it, man, my stomach got to bubbling, you know, because I didn't know what was on the other end of it. All right. I didn't know who I would hear, you know, on the other. And listen, man, listen. Every time I done it, there was somebody on the other end of it, man. I mean, there was people that I knew. Saying things that, I mean, I had just seen them at a meeting. You know? We had just hugged. But here they were on the other end of this voicemail, saying things like, what's happening? Can we get together again? And, there was another person, I need some sex, and it's been a minute, and, you know, listen, this is what I'm saying, man, I suffer from a disease, man, that if I want to, it don't matter how clean you are, you can kill yourself up in here, right? I mean, you can hurt yourself up in here, you know. And I justified that behavior. I justified it based on how I felt about the individual, all right. And I mean, it took its toll on me. It took its toll on me, man. I did this, man, for weeks at a time, and it's got to a point, man, where I couldn't do it anymore. And I was withholding information from my sponsor, you know. So I finally had to tell my sponsor, you know, the behavior I was practicing. All right. And one day, man, I had to get rid of it. I had to get rid of the number, you know. Listen, I'm talking about trying to get to a point where I can embrace empathy, okay. And listen, I told you earlier that I'm the guy that pointed fingers. I'm the guy that hurt themselves. I need to share with you, man, at over 16 years clean, I couldn't come out the house. I mean, I need to share with you, man, that over 16 years clean, man, at the time, man, I didn't go to meetings. I just need to share with you, man, that I had over 16 years clean at the time, man, and I was hurting, you know? And you know, how dare her? And one day, I wanted to get better. I'm just going to tell you what this program can do for you. One day I wanted to get better. You know, so I picked up my step work. And I started doing some writing. And what I came up with was, doing this writing was how I manipulated this relationship. Listen, man, what I had to get in touch with was is that, I mean, we even when I stepped outside my marriage, it didn't have nothing to do with my wife. It had everything to do with how I felt about me. All right? So listen, man, so what I did, man, and I had to transfer that to this individual. And what I know is that all we have is what we have. All right? All I can work with is what I got. I can't work with what you got. I'm not here because you got high. All right? I'm here, man, because I thought I couldn't see no way out. I'm here because I used. I need to share with you, man, that I hated my father. I hated my father, man, because my father left me and my brothers and sisters at an early age. At an early age. And I hated him for that. But after coming into this program, man, and doing the work, I came up with the same solution. My father had a seventh grade education. And my dad gave us everything that he had. He couldn't give me what he didn't have. And listen, and I didn't know that at the time. You know, listen, Narcotics Anonymous got me in touch with that. Okay? Narcotics Anonymous got me in touch with that. Man, this young lady, man, who I was in a relationship with, listen. The running back and forth to whoever they were running back and forth to, what I got in touch with it, that it didn't have nothing to do with me. Nothing at all. It had everything to do with the fear in them. And when I was able to really, really take a real, real good look at that, I was able to embrace them. I was able to empathize with them, because empathy, like I said, empathy is like feeling, you know, just putting yourself in this person's shoes. Okay. You know, a lot of times, listen, we don't know what we're dealing with up in here. We don't know. Okay? I don't know what's on his mind. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. If I hadn't told you. And sometimes just the fear of sharing out loud, honestly. We think that we're being exploited. Just the fear of letting somebody know who we are. It's scary, man. It's scary. You know, it's not easy coming up here sometimes, man, just telling you who I am and what I deal with and what I suffer from. And it ain't never been about you. It's always been about me. Okay? It's always been about me. But I have a chaotic, selfish way of spinning this thing around and trying to make you feel guilty about what you've done to me. Knowing that ain't true. Knowing that's not true. The reason all this stuff happened to me, and the reason it hurt like it did, like I said, is because it happened to me. If it would have happened to you, it wouldn't hurt me as much as it hurt you. You know, it's real easy for me to sympathize with the people that I sponsor. It's real easy for me to sympathize with friends and family members. It's real easy. You know, when it's not me going through it. One of the things that I've tried to do with my children, man, is I've tried to empathize with their feelings, with the death of their mother. Because I need to share with you, my mother will be 91 years old, May the 12th. She's still here. And I have no experience losing a mom. I don't have any. So the only thing that I can share with my children is that Dad loves you. Mom loves you. Loved you. And we are there for you. Grandma, auntie, and everybody else. I'm telling you, man, it's just embracing empathy. It's where I want to go. See, a lot of times, see, we think that it's impossible. You know, we think that just because somebody done wronged us, and that we're in a program now that has picked us up, dusted our dusty asses off from the muck and the mire that we drug ourselves through. And then we get so high and mighty that we can't even forgive people for the harm that they've caused. I told you I'm a quick forgetter. Real hard to practice empathy up in here. Real hard. It's a true story, man. This, you know, there was two friends who supposedly loved each other. They were at a meeting. Something happened and they disagreed with it. And they disagreed with it to the point they couldn't even speak to each other. Now they're in a program. They're in this program now. Loving and caring. You know, I got your back kind of program. I love you and you love me. Sitting at the same table at a meeting. And the resentments and the unforgiving and everything else that goes with it was they couldn't get through it. They couldn't hug each other. They couldn't say hi. They couldn't say I forgive you. Let me share this with you. They were sitting at the same table on a Saturday. And they couldn't speak to each other. That following Sunday, one of those persons passed away. And they never got a chance to say, I love you. Or I forgive you. That person that passed away was my wife. Okay? I'm telling you, man, it's a sad story when we call ourselves in a program that's loving and caring, that has brought us to places, man, where we've only dreamed about. That we've met people in our lives, man, that have forgiven us and they don't even know us, but what they did know is that they were just like me and I was just like them and whatever it is that you did, you know, I probably did too, you know, or whatever it is that you did, you know, he probably did too, you know, and it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. You know, these 5 minute deals, I hate them. Because it throws me right off of where I'm headed. But that's okay. But that's okay. But to be in a program that is loving and that is caring and that allows me to practice some courage. Okay? To practice some honesty, listen, I'm gonna share this. Pain is pain, all right? I don't care what you did, what you didn't do, or how you did it, or how you didn't do it. What I understand about pain is pain, all right? Pain is pain. what I understand now is that I've been able to practice a little bit of humility up in here, okay? I've been able to forgive this person, you know, who caused the kind of harm to me. I've been able to, first of all, to forgive myself, okay, for causing the kind of harm that I've caused, all right? You know, and sometimes, man, practicing, being humble and practicing some humility, man, it's real risky, you know, because I'm still the guy, man, that I don't want to look like a punk, you know. I don't want to feel like you done got over on me, you know. Listen, I still know how to go there, all right? I'm not that far removed. I'm not, you know. Not that far removed from thinking that somebody's getting over on me. You know, I have a job, man. Like a couple of years ago, man, I've been on my job for like 12 years, man, and they liked what I did so much, man. They told me to apply for supervisor, man, and they hired me as a supervisor on my job. You know, and one of the hardest things for me on my job, man, is to try to be okay with the people who were your friends before you got there. You know. And it's tricky. It's real tricky, you know, because for some reason, man, we can't understand that, see, I'm the same guy. I just got more responsibility, but I'm the same guy, you know, but because you suggest something for them to do, now they thinking that you telling them what to do. And then if they don't do it, you know, there's things in my arsenal to either you're going to do it or there's something else that's going to happen to you, you know. And when you try to do your job, you're a whole different person now. Just trying to share with you, man, that some of the things that go on, you know. But I've been able to practice some humility, you know, in that area also, you know. I'm gonna shut my mouth up. Just want to share with you real quick, and this is in the sixth step, and I love this piece right here because it talks about we are humbled by our imperfection, but let there be no mistake. Humility is the ideal state for an addict to be in. Humility brings us back down to earth and plants our feet firmly on the spiritual path we are walking. I looked up that. I looked up ideal. It says humility is the ideal state. So what does ideal mean? So I looked up ideal. An ideal is a conception of something in its most excellent or perfect form. Listen, it's a conception of something in its most excellent or perfect form. So what that tells me is that when I'm practicing humility, when I'm humbling myself, I'm in the hands of God. That's where I'm at. Okay? I'm in the hands of God. Every time I practice humility, God has me. Every time I humble myself, God has me. Listen, I wanna thank you all for being here. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm going to share this real quick. You know, I told you this is my first time, you know, here at this convention, man, and heard a whole lot about it. Well, coming here real quick, I saw a couple of signs. One said Ocean City, and the other one said the Bay Bridge. Now, I've only seen the Bay Bridge, like, on the Internet, you know, or on commercials or something, you know. Never seen the Bay Bridge in person. Now, it might be all right with y'all because y'all probably go back and forth over it like at will. I'm telling you. The Bay Bridge ain't nothing to be playing with. My significant other, she shared with me about the first time that she went over it. I mean, she said that her knees were knocking. Just going over the bridge, man. And listen, now my knees wasn't knocking. But I was on the phone and I hung the phone up. And I did everything I needed to do, two hands on the wheel, until I got over this Bay Bridge. Listen, that was something. It really was. Ain't nothing out there but water and bridge. That's it. You know. And it's amazing to see. It kind of reminded me of Niagara Falls the first time I seen it. You know. So, listen, man, I want to thank you all for being here. And supporting, not supporting me or supporting Nanette, just supporting Narcotics Anonymous and supporting this convention, okay? Because that's how this thing. And any newcomers here? Is any newcomers here? Any newcomers? No newcomers? Okay. Well, you're still the most important person at any meet, okay? Because we can still keep what we have by giving it away, okay? Listen. What is our message? Our message is, I mean, we can do this together. That an addict? Yeah. Any addict can stop using. Our message is hope, and our promise is freedom. Because when all is said and done, that's all we had to give. Okay? That's it. All we got is our message, okay? And we carry the message. We don't determine who will receive it, okay? That's what we do. All right? Hey, I love y'all. Thanks for being here.